I'm Lauren.
And I'm Ashley. And this, guys, is Nip Tuck Pod.
We are your girl chat. We say the things you want to hear, the things that you're thinking but you don't want to say out loud. And we're all about being strong, aspirational women who basically don't give a...
Lauren, anyway, if you want unfiltered chat, amazing beauty and product recommendations, then look no further, guys. This is the podcast where you will get all of the girly chat.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ladies and gentlemen, Josh Peters. Hey, buddy.
How's it going?
Hi, man. Hey, dude, it's Sadra. You are now a boxer, aren't you?
No, that's a bit of a stretch. And can I just say, you said a podcast. I didn't know there'd be a room live audience. But yeah, I like it.
This is how all our podcasts are. Yeah, we have an audience.
Yeah. This is, yeah, just we don't even know any of them. They just basically, they come off the street. We say, hey, do you want to come and sit in here? And they laugh.
But that happens to you a lot.
Yeah, that happens to me a lot. That people come and sit and just laugh at me. Francis always says that he really like canned clap. That's what he said.
What?
Remember he said, oh, we should have canned...
Oh, canned clap on the podcast.
Yeah.
You mean canned clapping.
Yeah.
Not canned clap.
You don't want that. The STD checks.
Yeah, so if you think you've got canned clap, you can go and get an STD check pretty quick on it.
It didn't take long, did it?
It didn't take long, but do tell me, you are now a boxer.
I guess I've done a boxing fight, so...
That makes you a boxer.
Yeah, Jamie, you also did the fight, but that wasn't your first fight. But yeah,
It's my third, mate.
It's his third. We did it for Lady God and Charity. And when I signed up to do the fight, the guy who organized it was like, don't worry, Josh, you know, I'll organize for you to fight someone easy, someone a lot smaller than you. You'll win, no problem.
Yes,
3 weeks to the fight, it gets announced that, get this, I'm fighting Jason Statham's brother-in-law, Toby Huntington-Whiteley, who is a 6'4". The only way, he looks like he was carved by God himself.
Yeah.
He's so good looking, chiseled abs, the rest of it.
Yeah, it was intense.
And Arte came in a pink outfit to fight him. But it was one of the coolest experiences I've
ever had. Josh,
did you win? Or?
It was. I'll let Jamie explain.
Do you know what? In all honesty, I'm not saying because you're here, and I would say it behind your back. It's a good thing. You should have won it. I thought you won that.
I think it was very close. Like, it came down to the judges' score at the end. But I think he landed like one or two more big hits on me where like my legs kind of went a little bit, but all in all it was really close. So I think that's what edged it for him, but it was honestly one of the coolest experiences
Josh,
I've ever had.
Josh looked like you had put boxing gloves on a kangaroo. that's what he looked
Someone
like.
Someone referred to me as a praying mantis.
Yeah. He did this weird thing where he did this.
And it wasn't weird, it was cool.
It was not cool.
It was macho.
Thing like this, and every time he got hit, he'd go... But I saw this guy. So it was Toby Huntington-Whiteley, who's obviously Rosie Huntington-Whiteley's brother.
Yeah.
Good-looking guy. He was warming up before.
Good look. He's a Vogue model. He's more than good-looking.
Yeah, but we could be Vogue models as well,
yeah,
man.
We just didn't try.
I've tried, but I haven't just quite got it yet.
My height, your looks, I reckon we're in there.
Shit, if I had heart, your height, fuck, if I just had that, man. And then Francis just taking the photo. That would be...
Why do you put up?
Oh, well, yeah.
But you did. But dude, this guy, so Rosie Hunting-Whiteley's brother, right? He was doing the pad work before.
Yeah.
And he was like a monster. Like, I was like, and I saw you were fighting him and you hadn't seen him. I was like, oh my God, you're going to die in this rig. Because just you're tall, but you're skinny, man.
Yeah, no, I'm wiry though. But speaking of someone dying in the fight. So obviously me, you and Spencer were hanging out before the fight, right?
Yeah.
And I was chatting to Spencer and he was saying that, you know, he's a very zen guy now. He's quit drinking and he's got a family now. Obviously he's just had a child and he was saying how ready he is for the fight. Jamie, I'll let you recall what happened. Did you get to watch
Spencer's
fight? I was shocked.
Yeah, the whole thing. So it's hilarious actually. Spencer was like, oh God, I'm going to be so relaxed, so chilled about this whole fight. It's going to be like, I'm just not going to come out like a steaming thing. In his fight against Wayne Bridge that he did for Comic Relief, in the first round, he threw like 130 punches. Just like the go-to rule. Like the one thing they say is like, if you're driving a car, like don't take your hands off the wheel. If you fight, don't try and throw as many punches as you can, like at the beginning. Yeah. So he comes into this next fight and he was like going like, yeah, I'm just going to take it like chilled. I'm going to be super relaxed. Like, it's going to be good, whatever. He came in like a fucking... Excuse me again. He came in like a bulldog, like just throwing punches, and then he got knocked out
twice.
He got hit.
It was really hard. I didn't think he was going to get up. He got back up, and not 5 seconds later, he was on the floor again. You could have reached for your drink, and someone goes, "Oh God, what's happened? You're down again."
And the next day, we had a meeting. And I was talking about it, and before he came, I said, oh, Spencer was knocked out. Yes, he's probably feeling a bit whatever. It was on the Monday. And he comes in, and he sat down, and I went, oh, we talk about you getting knocked out. He goes, I didn't get knocked out. I went, what happened? He goes, well, I just tired, so I took a knee. I was like, no, you didn't. You fell to the ground. Like,
he didn't want to admit that
he got knocked out.
But surely everyone saw.
No, they did.
Yeah, of course they did. Yeah, of course they did. Joshy Mantel, dude, you're not from the UK, you grew up in South Africa.
No, yes, I actually grew up with someone else some of you might be familiar with, Casper Lee, who's also a YouTuber. So we grew up in...
Do you have to say that every single time you meet someone? You go, like, I'm Casper Lee's friend.
I've got a business card that say that on there, Casper Lee, and then plus one next to it. It's really good. We grew up in a town in South Africa called Knysna, which literally, I think the population is like 100,000 or something. It's really, really small, on the coast, really beautiful, like one of my favorite places in the world still to go to. But yeah, it's super weird that now the two of us are living together in London. It's quite like a contrast. So we often like look at each other and we're just like, what are we doing?
Yeah,
how did we get here?
How the hell did we get here? But was that always like the kind of dream to do that? Or no, it wasn't
at all? So Casper... When we were sort of 15, 16, like I guess a lot of kids our age did, we used to make videos, like home videos for fun.
Yeah.
And Casper had a YouTube channel, so we'd upload a bunch of them, and like no one would watch them, but like our friends would. We thought it was quite funny. And my main dream in life was to be a professional cricket player.
Yeah,
so
at that
time, I was playing like the equivalent of county cricket in South Africa. And Casper one day thought, you know what, I'm going to try and make a career out of making YouTube videos. And I was like... Okay, like that wasn't a thing.
And no one was doing that.
That wasn't a thing. This was 2010, so it was completely pretty much unheard of, especially in South Africa, which is like technologically about 5-10 years behind sort of England or America. Everyone thought he was crazy, but he kept trying, and after 2 years, I think he had like 1,000 subscribers or something, and obviously now, about, 8 years later, he's got 7.5 million subscribers, so that was incredible. But anyway... I digress. Back to the story. I was playing cricket. He was doing this. Then I used to, once I finished school, come to the UK for half of the year to play cricket, like in the sort of summer here. Then I'd play the summer in South Africa. And while I was here for extra work, I would edit and film for Casper and some of the guys because I knew how YouTube worked and it was a bit of extra work. And the most recent cricket season I was here, I got glandular fever.
Oh, yeah.
I knew you were gonna
love that. Okay.
So.
Kissing a lot of people, I see.
Yeah, you know.
Were you like, yes, I got glandular fever?
I was like, yes, people will believe me that I've kissed a girl there.
Boys back home, I've got glandular fever.
Cricket players are very close to
what actually happened is a girl just left behind a bottle of water that she'd been drinking, and I had a sip, and I got glandular fever. No, I didn't.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I had a flat in London for 6 months. I was meant to be playing cricket the entire 6 months, but now I wasn't allowed to play sport for 6 months because I had gotten glandular fever. I was in hospital for a week. Lost loads of weight. Like, I couldn't walk across the room. It was really bad. Anyway, I started making videos. Obviously, being around all the guys all the time, that helped give me a sort of platform to start. And people started watching them, and it's now 2.5-3 years later, and it is my full-time job. And I haven't gone back to cricket, but I've kind of just gone on this weird journey from sort of being a cricket player to now being a YouTuber, and I managed to have my own show on Comedy Central somehow, which is just still like I can't believe. So
what kind of show?
It is called Josh Investigate, so it's like a comedy show where I play a reporter investigating things like climate change and sex, but I'm really stupid, so I misunderstand everything, but with an underlying tone of actually knowing what's going on, so I'll interview like...
Do you not hate that, though? One thing that I find so tricky is when I have to like sit in a situation and embarrass myself and someone else.
I thought that comes naturally to you.
it's like my worst thing in the world. I find it so in, because you do things,
but you do it so often.
I know, Francis, all right, I get that, but I do things like, I mean, you do, well, Josh, you do things like you'll sit there. The one that I saw recently, which was so good, was with Tom Holland. And you can explain it, it's amazing. But what happened with this?
So because when the new Avengers movie was coming out, I had an opportunity to do a video with Tom Holland to do press for the movie, basically. So instead of just doing like a junket interview, I thought, how can I make this a bit more exciting? So I got Connor Maynard and Casper, who are friends of Tom's, or they say they're friends of his, I think they know him. And I got them in another room with a microphone, and I had an earpiece in. And throughout the interview, I had to say whatever they were telling me to say. Mm. And obviously, they made it like as embarrassing for me as possible. They made me ask him if I could lick his shoe. Like it got
the worst thing. The most intense thing.
Spider-Man sitting in front of you, and you have to be like, "Can I?" Lick
so this was a press junket.
Yeah. Completely.
It was the most. And this guy was actually like, "Okay,
what
like,
is going on?" Anyway, at the end of it, Casper and Connor run in and reveal that it was all a prank, and he took it really well. But yeah, that sitting there for 5-10 minutes interviewing this guy, asking him, they made me make up a new theme song for Spider-Man and sing it to him. They maybe said, I've been rehearsing the new theme song.
How did it go?
Oh, don't make me.
Come on,
how did it go? I think I took the theme song of the Spider-Pig from, was it The Simpsons?
Spider-Man,
he's our one true Spider-Man. Can he fly? No, he can't. He's got webs coming out of his aunt or something. Like, it was so bad.
Sounds sick.
Yeah, no, it really was.
But how do you separate yourself with those situations? How do you separate your mind from, like, the awkwardness?
It's so hard. Like, I just
You watched porn on the train.
Oh, yeah, I was just about to say, that was probably the most awkward thing I've ever done. I took a phone on the train, and then I had big headphones on as if I was watching something, but the audio jack was out of the phone. And then there's just like porn playing out of the phone, and everyone's obviously looking at me like, oh my God, this guy doesn't realize that like he's watching porn and everybody on the train can hear it. I clench my stomach and I just try to take myself to another place and pretend that that's not real.
So
like my absolute role model and hero is Sacha Baron Cohen, because he can do that like no other. He actually, it's like he doesn't have feelings. Yeah, it's crazy.
But that's really how he just doesn't seem like he cares one bit.
I think he plays, when he plays a character, he actually is that character.
Yeah.
And he doesn't, Sacha Baron Cohen's no longer there, it's Borat or it's whatever, that person is there.
But also the fact is that you decided to give up cricket, which you were pretty damn good at.
Yeah.
And then go and start something which, I suppose both kind of industries don't really have that much security in a sense, because you could be injured and...
Not at all. So... I mean, yeah, the season I did here, I'd kind of said to myself, look, this is going to be my last cricket season I do overseas, and after that, I'll carry on playing in South Africa, but I'll start studying. So I applied to study law. I was going to study law at UCT in Cape Town.
Sweet.
And this was my last cricket season here, and then I got glandular fever. And like, obviously, at the time, I was like on the phone to my parents, like crying, like, my life is over. You know, I've come all this way, and now there's no point. And I guess I just never moved back once, because after the 6 months of being here, I was already kind of just able to make rent by only doing YouTube. So I kind of scavenged around a bit. I think I borrowed a bit of money from like my dad, who helped me out with like a deposit on a flat.
Yeah.
And I've managed to live here ever since.
Dude, that's insane.
Yeah, really weird.
But also, do you not find it like... Because I did like a bit of YouTube. We did a video together, which was so funny.
Yeah.
But I it was hilarious. We did this video, Francis, where I think I showed you where we would walk around London, And we had this briefcase, and we called it the debrief.
Very good.
So we'd have this briefcase that basically I would give it to Josh, and he would have to walk into the middle of public and just let it open up, and whatever fell out, you'd have to deal with. And it was so intense. Josh put so much porn into Oh my god, there was so much porn that came out, and it was like quite heavy porn, and it went
everywhere,
and people were like running to help me pick it up, and I was like, oh my god.
The best was the ones that opened, and like it was some sort of social, I don't know if it was a dildo, but it was something like round, was it like anal beads or something, I don't know, and they just started,
you know what was it?
Yeah, it was definitely anal beads.
They started bouncing along the floor, like, and it was kind of,
and
running,
people were like
off
running after, it's so beautiful. But so I was doing these YouTube videos and things there, and I found it like it, mentally pretty intense to kind of every single week think of something and upload something and keep that thing going. Where do you kind of get the passion to keep doing it? Is it just because I feel like out of all of those guys, I know Casper, although, but you're the one who really enjoys the creative side of doing things.
I'll try my best to do stuff that's different. It's definitely the hardest part about it, and I think that's why so many people who create things on their own accord suffer probably so much from sort of like mental illness and mental health problems, because it does take a huge toll having to come up with something every week. And it sounds silly because we are so lucky to be able to do what we do and choose when we work and that kind of thing, but then you feel like you should always be working.
You're almost like a slave to
exactly
that video that
and
you have to get out.
Always going to be, no matter how big your numbers are, they always probably feel small to you, because you're only ever going to compare yourself to people who have more, and there's always going to be someone with more. So I think it's very important to try and...
Who has the most, actually?
The most subscribers in the world is a guy named PewDiePie.
Oh, yeah. So he's like, yeah, well, I've got the most. So.
But also, he has the most of, like, 25 million or something.
Yeah, no, he's got 70 million subscribers now.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, he does. It's crazy. Or plus 70, I guess.
Does his videos get, like, loads of views and things like that still?
So that's the interesting thing about YouTube now, is it's becoming far less about subscribers, actually, and far more about views. It's becoming quite algorithm. So
your retention rate.
Exactly.
I was just explaining that to you.
How much
your rent?
Something.
Your retention rate.
Oh.
But it's like with any social media now, Instagram, whatever. I mean, say you follow, I don't know, 500 people. You don't see 500 people's posts on your feed. You see probably the top like 40 people that you interact with.
Instagram,
but why does that happen?
Instagram have like messed it all up, in my opinion. I mean, like,
I guess it's a...
Because they
get really upset by it, don't you?
No. Like,
why has this picture just only got like 300 likes?
Yeah, because sometimes your picture will get like so many likes, and sometimes it will just get like barely any. And it's not that it's not a good picture. It's just that Instagram has decided.
Pic?
No, it's not.
When he does a topless pic,
it blows.
It
up.
Goes wild. People are literally like, "Holy smokes! Have you seen Francis' Instagram?"
The glasses stay on the top.
It goes viral. Yeah,
he's pouring like Yoshi cider down here, and it's just like. So great.
But and I think like, because there's a reason why Instagram became successful was what, you know, the setup that it had before, and then now they're trying to fiddle with it because they want everyone to pay to promote their own posts.
I hate people when they fiddle with it.
I don't know for sure. I guess the only, if I'm playing devil's advocate, the argument I could offer from them is that now that there's so many people on Instagram who are and everyone's posting so much content, that if there wasn't an algorithm, you would just not actually see what you wanted to see because you wouldn't have time.
Wait,
I don't think that's why they're doing it.
Do you think it's because of the amount of money they can make?
I think it's because they want people to be more inclined to pay for... I think previously people just weren't paying to promote posts.
Yeah.
And they want people to actually feel motivated to do that. But now it's created this false dichotomy where all these people are like, buying likes.
Francis, I'm a YouTuber. You can't use words like
dichotomy. I just said dichotomy. What is that? What is a dichotomy?
I was a cricket player, then a YouTuber. You know,
what is dichotomy?
IQ is not the average IQ here is.
Yeah, what's dichotomy?
It's sort of scenario.
What's scenario?
yeah. Scenario. Wait, you're saying there's an algorithm on YouTube?
100%. I mean,
surely not.
Of course there is. If you go onto your YouTube homepage. Is what you watch the most of.
Don't tell anyone that.
yours is just you.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, actually, I come up quite a lot.
That's because you Google yourself so much.
No, it's not because I
Google owns YouTube, so it's just showing you.
I don't go and check out loads of me.
Yes, you do.
I don't check out loads of me.
You Google yourself like 10 times a day, and you have a Google alert on yourself.
You don't have a Google. Everyone has a Google alert on themselves. Josh, do you have a Google alert on yourself?
Absolutely not.
You don't?
No.
You don't at all? Okay, well, no, so you're just saying...
And you have a Google alert on Jamie Lang cool, question mark?
No, I never have that. I don't. It's actually...
He's going red.
No way. I'm not.
Why are you getting red?
I don't have a Google alert.
Why are you getting red?
I don't
Is
have
that the Botox?
The funniest Google alert I ever had... I've told you this, Franz, but Josh, I'll tell you. The funniest Google alert I ever got was when I was in Barbados, and it came up on my my emails. It said... Google alert on GQ's best dressed.
Oh, wow.
I was like, hello, what's that? And I went to Ollie Proudlock, who likes his fashion a lot, and I went up to him and said, hey, buddy, GQ best dressed, what's up? And he was like, really? And I was like, yes. So we clicked on it, and we went around the top, we went, David Beckham, Harry Styles, and I was like, it's not on the top 10. That's weird that they've sent me. And then we swiped across, top 10 worst dressed, I was number 4. I was like, what is this?
Hey, no such thing as bad publicity.
Yeah, but true, but do you ever get like hate things and stuff like that? You must get a little bit of hate.
I mean, the internet's...
You must get a lot of hate.
You're tall, you're ginger. Yeah.
God, it all extremely good looking. Yeah. So obviously that comes with it.
Do you not get, but do you get hate, or do you guys, are you loved by every, by all the...
No, not at all. I mean, obviously you're always going to get hate. I think I've gotten to the age now where, like, I'm able to realize that anyone who for no reason is going to sort of like fire hate at you via a keyboard is probably not... Firstly, they're mostly like under the age of 12 years old, probably, and they're just...
So you just go, shut up. Shut up, you little idiot.
I just don't, try not to take any notice of it. It is obviously, you do see it and it'll affect you sometimes, but I mean, all you can do is try and ignore it.
So. Yeah, that's it. No, I completely agree. But you have a little bit of beef and hate with some of your YouTubers, don't you, sometimes?
Not really, actually, but there is a... So my best friend and roommate, Casper, we both went away skiing, and he was going on from skiing to do some work in Dubai. And as I said, we lived together. And when I got home from skiing, I found that he had left something in my toilet without flushing it. Now, bear in mind, we'd been away for like a week. Mm-hmm. So it's a flat in London, it's not enormous. And when I got home, there was this bloody stench as I walked into the house. Oh. And he'd left, I mean, I'll save the language, but he'd left something in my toilet. So I tweeted
it.
A big old poo is what he'd left. So I tweeted it, which is perhaps a bit immature, but I was like, this guy needs to kind of pay for what he's done. So I put it on Twitter, and that's pretty much the all of it.
So you guys are now having a bit of beef going on?
Well, I wouldn't say, we're obviously best friends, but I don't think he's entirely happy with me that I've put that on Twitter. I will see when he gets back. He sent me some angry messages. He gets back tonight, actually. So,
but dude, this is the amazing thing about the kind of YouTube world, right? Is the fact that like the amount of influence you guys have on terms of when it's like hate stuff.
Yeah, it's
crazy.
I think it's like,
if people love each other, they don't like it. But if you hate each other, people go wild for the boxing thing that happens.
Yeah, it's weird. I think it's... I'm not sure if it's always been like that with entertainment, but if you think to reality TV and when that started,
yeah,
I mean, Made in Chelsea, obviously, Jamie, people are always the most...
Josh is a big fan.
Huge.
He's huge.
Huge fan. Season 3, my favourite.
He's a huge, huge fan.
Drama is the most interesting thing. I'm sure on Made in Chelsea, the most successful episodes were when there was something happening, some sort of, someone cheated on someone or something happened. And I think YouTube is almost now becoming like the modern day reality television.
Yeah.
And it's even more real because it's... sometimes live from people, it's far more personal than reality TV.
So was this actually potentially some elaborate ploy to have a fight with Logan Paul? Oh, sorry, not Logan Paul.
Casper
Lee.
No, I don't think we'd ever do a boxing match.
Doing boxing match?
No, I think that would be a stretch.
Can I ask, how much money do you think someone like Logan Paul made?
Logan,
doing that boxing match with KSI.
Doing the boxing match.
What is the rumours in the YouTube circuit?
The rumours... I think, if I remember correctly, was about $5 million each.
What?
Yeah. So,
no.
I mean, that is... but don't get me confused with like someone like Logan Paul, That,
Josh, you're making $5 million.
No, we're in a very different bracket. I mean, that's like comparing you to someone on Game of Thrones.
I get it. It's like comparing Francis to me. I understand what you're saying.
No, that's so insane. Yeah, that is ridiculous. So, I mean, it's obviously just rumoured, but I think...
in my sort of opinion, it would be around
how?
That.
How? Well, they sold out Manchester Arena for the fight firstly. So
but that's like 15,000 people.
Is it 30? Let's call it 20, whatever. But they had, I think, watching live, around 1 million people. I don't want to get that wrong.
And they each paid £5, right?
It was £6.90, I think, to pay to watch the fight. And now that fight is also freely available on YouTube, and it's got like 10 million views or something. So just what sponsors would have been paying to be in the, you know, on the ring and have advertising in that fight, you're reaching an audience that not many events can get you to reach. I think the brands who did sponsor it would have gotten an amazing deal, because if they wanted to reach that amount of audience in a traditional sense, they would have been paying far more. I mean, if you think about what advertisers pay to be on be on some events that don't get that much coverage.
But dude, but just where does this end, man? Like, this is where does this?
I watched the fight live, right? I felt like I was in a post-apocalyptic world where everyone had gone crazy because there's like these internet gods, so to speak. Logan from the USA has got just about 20 million subscribers, and JJ from KSI from the UK with 20 million subscribers. They're like the modern day sort of biggest celebrities, and the audience was all on average about like 15 years old, and everyone is losing it, going crazy for these guys, and they're boxing, and you know what I mean, if you were kind of transported into a weird post-apocalyptic world, that's kind of how it felt.
But do you think that's like hell, like I don't know, maybe pre-apocalyptic, but I don't know if this is like
Is it
like a bubble? Is it like the dot-com bubble? Is it like...
I don't think it's a bubble. I think it's going to carry on. I think it's just a new means of entertainment. Like, I'm sure when movies started, radio must have been a confusion. You know what I mean? People would have just been like, what's going on?
Hey, that won't last.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what people would have said. They would have said that. But now it just seems to be just going...
Yeah, it is.
But dude, these kids are making... like so much money, like I mean, they're 20 years old and they're just, you know, they're making like, maybe I can, if you put a video out, right, that makes just like 10 million views, what kind of money is someone making?
So it completely depends on the content that they're making. So to give you like a simple example, say for example you were a luxury cars YouTube channel, and then say Francis, you were a normal comedy channel.
He likes books. He's an old school book.
A comedy channel, and so say Coca-Cola would advertise on your videos because that's pretty normal. But on the other hand, with your luxury car channel, Ferrari might advertise on your channel. Ferrari only need to make one sale out of however many views you get to really justify the amount of spend that they're spending to advertise.
Yeah.
Whereas Coca-Cola have to consistently sell a lot of Coca-Cola on your channel to justify what they're spending. So for 1,000 views on a luxury cars channel, you might be making maybe like $10 for 1,000 views, but you might be only making $1 for 1,000 views. So that's called a CPM, which basically determines how much money you're making per 1,000 views. But rule of thumb is like $2 per 1,000 views on average. But as I say, if you're doing something that's targeted, like beauty and makeup products or luxury.
That's what I'm going to get into.
Advertisers are going to pay a lot more, because if 50 people watch a video about a luxury car and one of them buys a luxury car, they've made their money back 100,000-fold by just paying a little bit for advertising.
Hey man, you're clued up to this stuff.
You're
clued up to it, baby. I quite like
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, Josh, I'm going to take a quick little moment because I'm going to read you my diary that I like to read you.
You've got a diary?
I've got a diary, man, that I'm going to read to you. You can comment back. Do
you know, when
you
I
like.
Used to watch Made in Chelsea...
When you still watch Made in Chelsea.
I wondered if the fantasies about you would be real and they're all actually becoming real.
Yeah, they're real, man.
I'm living my dream today.
You are. I feel like you are. And I am living my dream with you here.
What about you, Francis?
What are you living, Francis?
I'm living my nightmare.
Okay. Wednesday. Not only is it time to buy a present and Christmas around the corner, it's also the time of the year that starts to die down, and there's nothing much to do apart from drink eggnog and wine and get a little bit merry every single night. Therefore, I have another Christmas drinks tonight that I have to attend and make meaningless chat to people about the weather, how cold it is, and what they're doing for Christmas. That is literally the only chat that anyone ever gives at these events. Plus, when you have a party the next day, all you talk about then is how hungover you are and how much you drank the night before. It's basically like you've given a script and you read it out at each party. Maybe tonight I'll go off script, completely ad lib, and throw everyone off course. There you go, man.
Did you enjoy? Wow.
Yeah.
Wait, what year is that from?
This is from 1942. Did you enjoy it? Yeah.
You've aged very well, Jamie.
Well, I do. I think it is. I think when you have these Christmas parties, everyone kind of like, you have the same chat. Everyone always walks up to one another and goes, oh God, I'm so hungover.
So how was your year?
And how's the weather?
Yeah, the weather, it is. God, isn't it cold outside at the moment? That's what everyone always chats about.
100%.
Do you know what I mean?
As a South African, that's kind of like, it always gives you something to talk about because, you know, we're not used to the cold, so you can always go, oh, it's very cold.
But South Africa is also one of my favourite places I've ever been to.
Yeah, it's I've never been anywhere in the world that's like it. I think Africa, though, in general, not just South Africa, still has a lot of, like, untouched beauty, if that makes sense, whereas a lot of the rest of the world has been very, like, taken by human beings, whereas in Africa there's still so many places that are just completely naturally untouched and like beautiful.
Do you think you'll ever go back and live there at any point?
I always, like, in the back of my mind, I would always want to, definitely. I'd love to.
Surely you can take your YouTube anywhere.
You can, but
he can't leave Casper and exactly. His boys, and you know,
it's a big part of YouTube is obviously, you know, collaboration and being with other people, because a lot of the videos we make together, if that makes sense. Yeah. And then also just in terms of making a career out of it, there's far more of like a market for online advertising and that kind of thing in the UK and the US than there is in South Africa. It's still lagging a little bit behind.
But also, Josh, in terms of like things like, you know, in terms of YouTube, I know we keep going back to that, like, you know, and perhaps it is, and I'm just sort of questioning, is it sustainable forever? Is it that?
I think not for an individual. I think any form of entertainment, you can't say sustainable forever because you're only going to be around as long as people like you.
Sure.
But I think YouTube as a platform and online as a platform will definitely be around forever. I mean, you're not just talking about YouTube now, you're talking about Hulu, Netflix, Now TV.
Streaming in general, you mean? Not necessarily
and,
YouTube.
And even, I was thinking about this the other day, I was watching TV. Nothing's live on TV anymore except for sport and the news.
Completely, yeah.
I mean, if you're watching a movie, I mean, it's not, you know what I mean? When I was younger, though, I'd think like, oh, this is like live now on TV, but now everything's on demand. Mm. And even when you're watching something on TV, that's not live. So I think the concept of live TV is going to be forgotten about except for sport
Yeah, I actually weirdly completely agree with that as well. I think, but that's what sort of TV people are trying to do now, is they're trying to find a way of getting like the live sort of stuff back. That's what they're trying, and whatever they can do to make it live, because otherwise you are just then another streaming service.
Yeah, I think what now is challenging them with that is that I can go live from my phone in my pocket. You know what I mean? It's such an easy thing to do, and people's favorite people can go live. You don't need a whole production to do. But I guess, I mean, like, this is obviously an example of that, where it's,
yeah, this is sick.
Exactly.
This
we can go
live.
We
this
can
is
go,
live.
But this isn't exactly a huge production. You know what I mean? It's not that hard for us to.
Hey, what are you? Well, yeah,
no,
what
I mean, in a nice way.
Dumbing down everyone's heart.
Sorry, we're not live. We don't.
Yeah,
we're
not. I'm sorry.
What I'm saying
sorry,
is,
we're not on Comedy Central. And all that kind of
sorry,
stuff.
We're making $5 million a fight.
Yeah. She's bragging about that.
I wouldn't be here if I was making that. All I'm saying, you don't need a television studio or a huge amount of people to make live TV work now.
It's quality, not quantity.
Exactly.
But what I more mean is good that looks. So therefore, if you have, it's like, so sustainability, right, for yourself. You think that, like,
you're talking about me personally.
Yeah. So what do you think in the, if you don't think it's possible for an individual to sustain something like that, what do you make a lot of money, then you go into something else, or what do you do? Like,
so I think where I'm,
because you, I feel like you really love entertainment.
Yeah, I do, and I think where I'm quite lucky is this is still very much a new. You know, all of this is so new. The internet as an entertainment form and a marketplace is still so new that I've been fortunate enough to be able to learn so much about it that I think even when people get sick and tired of me and my career as an entertainer is over, I'll hopefully have developed some skills to be able to
consult people.
Consult and work in this kind of space. I've also invested into a business, I don't know if you've heard of, called influencer.com.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, which is a really exciting startup, which basically is a platform that connects creators with brands, but it's sort of a very smart piece of technology as well. So say, for example, if you were a brand and you had a campaign and say you wanted to spend X amount of money and reach X amount of people in this area who speak this language and are this age, blah, blah, blah. The platform can automatically do that for you and serve up a bunch of influencers who would be correct for that particular campaign.
Cool. But the influencers, like, the fastest growing, like, agency in a sense. Are you a tech agency? Or?
So, yeah, that's where we kind of, even ourselves, we're kind of deciding which direction to go for, because it is in one sense a marketing agency in some respect, and it's a tech platform. I think we want to focus on it being a tech platform in the future. Our goal would be for it to be the kind of Uber of this industry. So if you could imagine one day, that would be handy. That would be good.
Yeah, then you wouldn't have to worry about a fight. you'd be all right. That'd be fine.
And that's,
don't worry, we're the Uber of people.
It's not going to be easy. There's a lot of people doing, and I think like Famebit, for example, just got bought by Google, who's a kind of competitor of ours. But the dream would be, say you're an influencer, you get a notification on your phone, Nike want to promote such and such a product, you open up the app, see the notification, see what the fee is, there's a contract there, you go tick, upload your content to the platform, the brand approve it, and within a day, you can turn around a deal that sometimes, well, at the moment, takes months when it comes to sort of managers and a whole bunch of different things that get involved.
So we want
to
try.
Holy smokes! So you're basically saying you're going to be like the purple bricks.
I'm not saying we're going to.
You're
going to
like the purple bricks of, like, estate agents.
That would be our absolute ambition and dream. We've still got a long way to go.
Weirdly enough, France and I just set up a business called Influencing, which is pretty much the same kind of thing. It's about a techie one.
Candy Kittens they're some of my favorite sweets. I see them everywhere I go now.
Dude, that's very kind of you. But I think we're all the same. We're all entrepreneurs around this table, right? We all want to, like, do that. I just don't think you were like a cricketer, right? You know, you didn't.
Yes,
you just didn't really.
So weird. I always did have a kind of keen sense for business as well. Luckily, because my father owns restaurants, and I kind of grew up working in restaurants. In my, like, holidays and that kind of thing, so I'd waiter and always be in a restaurant environment, and then I learned from him, like, a lot about how a business is run, and obviously a lot about running a restaurant is just customer service and how to be with people. And I feel like those skills in any business you go into are some of the most important skills. If you know how to be with people and you're polite and you've got the right sort of set of people skills, I feel like you can almost go into.
They're called soft skills.
Yeah, it helps a lot with going into different.
Do you have some soft skills?
He would look at that jumper.
Yeah, you got some sauce. Hey, Joshy, man. No, I wish you honestly all the success in the absolute world, man. You are just
and
such.
When you sell influencer.com to Google,
yeah, we'll. But you're such a nice guy. You deserve all the success. You're also the great thing about you're kind of the old school YouTubers where you're also willing to help out everyone in the sort of community, which I think is such a cool kind of way to be.
Well, that's what, I mean, if I never had help, I'd probably not be able to have gotten to where I was. So that, and on YouTube, it's very hard to like get started without collaborating. It's just the way it works.
And look, that's why we just want to say, you know, don't worry, we'll help you out today. We're
thank
glad
you.
We can help you out.
No, honestly, this is awesome.
It's
thank
super
you.
Sweet. Dude, Josh, thank you so much.
Thanks
baby.
So much,
hey,
guys.
Man, really appreciate it. Also, before you leave, we have to ask you to leave our audience with something inspirational.
Something inspirational. You couldn't have pre-prepared me for this, huh? Something inspirational is that I remember when I first arrived in the UK for the first time, I was 18 years old to play cricket, and I was in Stoke-on-Trent. I remember being consoled by family friends of ours because I was like crying. I was really homesick, so I went to London for a weekend and stayed with them. And I was like, "Oh, I want to go home." And I wasn't. I saw Jamie Lang's face on the television on Made in Chelsea. True story.
Is that true?
I mean, that didn't inspire me to do anything. But I'm just thinking,
like, I want to be him.
How weird if I think back to then. How different my life was, and I actually was really sad at that point, and I had no idea what I was going to do. Anyway, now I'm on a podcast talking to you, so I think
dream big. That's what you're
saying. The moral of what I'm saying is, no matter what you're doing and how it might seem now, a few years or even a few months is sometimes a really long time, and things can completely change in your life, and you might be in a completely different situation to where you were and what you thought you'd be doing. So don't get too down on things if in the current situation you're not that happy. You know, life's long, and the same goes for if you're doing really well. Don't get too caught up in it because life's very long.
That was a long old winded way of saying
it. Was,
yeah, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
you literally put me on the spot.
It was
and
sweet,
Josh,
man.
Something
it was sweet. Hey, Josh Peters, everybody.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out for a chance to win the French Open title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV, live in HD. Don't miss a moment with daily live coverage and match replays on demand, beginning Monday, May 20th. Be there for all the unforgettable moments. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.